Welcome to Living the Good Life. This is Catherine Nivens. Alongside her, I am Pastor Michelle. Please, Patriots, take this one away tonight. Cardinal, we are hosting the show while the cat is away, the mice will play. Pastor Marcia is up visiting her family in Indiana. She's having a glorious time up there. Hallelujah. Seeing her son and grandchildren and her daughter. And we want to give her a shout out and say hello. And we hope it's a wonderful time and put her in the traveling mercies.
Yes.
How are you doing today, Catherine?
Doing great. I'm glad to be here. We had a great service this morning with Jim covering while Pastor Marcia's away. And he just rocked us out.
I mean, he really had
a great word, the music, and a lot of fun faces there to fellowship with. So it was great.
It was really great. Pastor Jim had a really great service talking about the word, and, you know, I'm going to pirate some of his stuff. So, Pastor Jim, if you're listening, just know that.
I appreciate it. It's a continuation.
It is a continuation.
We're not pirating. It's a continuation.
It's a continuation, yes.
More of prayer guidance.
That's right. And, we've been talking about the last few weeks. We've been in this prayer series at Beacon of Hope, and we've been talking about the power of prayer and life-changing prayer and all that fun stuff, and we're going to kind of touch on that. So I want you guys to don yourselves with the great best-selling book, The Bible, any version, and a pen. Make sure it writes, because you're going to be writing some stuff down, and I'm going to bring you through the book of Job in a very interesting way, I think. Don't you think, Cap?
Yeah, I think so. We heard a little bit of it Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, that's right.
You led the Bible study on Wednesday night and got into Job. I'm glad we're going to get a little deeper into it, because it just kind of touched the surface on Wednesday, and I think there's more to be discussed.
There is, and just to let you guys know, I have to preface this with, is the book of Job, anything you read in the Bible, I have found, and finding more and more, that it really depends on the place you are in your life, what's going on in your life, what your needs are, what your blessings are. And when you read a book, and in my case, when I read Job, you know, it gave me a whole nother, I looked at it from a whole different perspective than what people generally would look at it. And that's the great thing about these books and the scripture, is it because it shows God's nature, it will minister to you in the way you need it to be ministered each and every time, and in a different way.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about the Beacon of Hope website. Beacon of Hope Ministries, IES on the end of ministries.com. We would love for you to guys go visit that website. It tells all about Beacon of Hope and our history. It tells a little bit about our, you know, that we're Christian-based, Spirit-led ministry. Talks about the events, upcoming events, which right around the corner is our 200th episode radio show.
After the first of the year, right?
After the first of the year. And we're going to have a big celebration here at Tantalk with Brother Bill back in the room. Mm-hmm. Hey. And, yeah.
Yay, 200th show.
Yes, it is. It's great. Talk a little bit about that website, Kat. What do you like about
it? Well, one thing that's great about the website is, if you miss one of the radio broadcasts and there's different guests on with Pastor Marcia every week, you can go onto the website and access any of those previous shows. So, you know, if there's a topic that you wonder if we've ever talked about, or a particular person you've heard speak that you wonder when else they've been on the radio, you know, you can go back to previous episodes and check it out. So that's nice. Also, it talks about, it has on there our hours and our ministries. And one is the Bible study on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And that's one of my favorite things at Beacon, is the actual Bible study, because it's casual. There's several restaurants around the area of the church. The address for the church is 3700 Ulmerton Road. It's on in a little strip
Clearwater,
mall.
Clearwater, Florida.
Yep. And right in that strip mall is the
Five Guys
hamburgers, pizza, and there's
John's Pizza.
There's Mexican.
Pancheros.
Yeah.
We have a little Burger King.
So you can grab your dinner and just come in very casual, and we open the Bible, and we really have, you know, break it down, and we really have great
interaction,
just phenomenal. Brainstorming about layers of meaning, and it's just great. So I really like that.
Yeah, the other thing is one of the big things that I like about it is you have so many different perspectives
right.
on things. And again, it's kind of what I touched on a little bit earlier. It's people are in different places of their mm-hmm. lives, not only age-wise, male, female, but, you know, they're being blessed or they're going through some struggles. And so whatever the teaching is, they have a different perspective on it, and it's really cool.
Yeah.
In that respect, and you're like, wow, I never even thought about it that way.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about what I was talking about with the Book of Job and all that fun stuff. Also, we have on that website, if you guys want to tithe, donate to Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we have a couple of ministries out there. We have a publishing ministry, and Pastor Marcia is going to be finishing up her book now. And you can tithe to that. You can tithe to the radio show, or you can tithe to Beacon of Hope Ministries, period. And we use PayPal on our website. So that's another really cool piece mm-hmm. of it. People can just put there and it goes in, and you don't even have to worry about it from that point on. We have a lot of listeners outside of the Tampa Bay area. We have people in Indiana, where Pastor Marcia's from, Massachusetts, Georgia, Seattle, Texas, and
Arkansas.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah, and a big shout-out to our guys out in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. Happy to have you guys listening. And across the seas, we have some international listeners, particularly the ones that are serving our country, that this is their only church. So
right.
those are the fun things that we do. So anyway, let's move on to our first song. Brother Bill back there, we have There's a Reason.
Late at night, I wonder why. Sometimes I wonder why. Sometimes I'm so tired, I don't even try. Seems everything around me fails, but I hold on to the promise that there is a reason. Late at night, darkness makes it hard to see. The history of the saints who've gone in front of me. Plague and disbelief, his hand was still upon them. Cause there is a reason, there is a reason. He makes all things good. He makes all things good. It's the time to live and the time to die. Time for wonder and to wonder why. Cause there is a reason. World and give his life for us. With blood and tears on a long dark night, we know that he believes that there is a reason. There is a reason. He makes all things good. He makes all things good. It's the time to live and the time to die. Wonder and to wonder why. There is a reason. There is a reason.
that was a nice one. That was a great one.
He makes all things good. There is a reason.
There is a reason. By we've kind of stuck on the name Kateman's Call. If I have a correction, Connie, you will give that to me. But that is a cool song. There is a reason. And we all got to remember that because of what we're about to start talking about. Okay, everybody get those world bestsellers out. And we're going to Job 1. And we're going to talk about a little history on Job here. Did you know, Catherine the Great Nivens, how old Job was? Well, first, let's start here. What was Job known for? And we're going to come back to this a little later, but what was Job known for? What is every... You mentioned Job. Oh, hey,
well, first thing I think about when anybody says Job is a saying my mother used to have, and that would, she would say... If someone was going through a hard time and not complaining too much, she would say they have the patience of Job.
Right.
And I just grew up hearing they have the patience of Job. But what kind of patience Job had, I really didn't know till many years later.
Well, you know, I liked we had somebody in our Bible study when I asked this question. They're like, poor guy. Whenever I mentioned Job, whenever you mention Job, you think, oh, poor guy. And a lot of people think, wow, dude, man, suffered. Woo, did that guy suffer.
Suffering, yeah.
And then that's really what he did. That's what a lot of people know Job as, right? Now, when we start talking about Job lived around the time that Abraham lived as well. And they had a longer life than we do now. And when he was going through this, quote, I'm doing air quotes for those of that listening on the radio. Those streaming live can see my air quotes. But, I don't even remember why I was doing my air quotes.
How old was he?
He was, that's it. Thank you, Bill.
Okay.
Perfect timing. He
Are
was 70 when he was going.
Was he?
He was going through this suffering. That's what the air quotes were for. He was about 70. But let's talk a little bit about what preceded Job. We're going to, again, have a little prologue here. Job 1. And Catherine, do you want to read out of it? You have the
sure.
NIV?
Yeah. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned several thousand sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom.
All right. Thank you. And I was turning the page, like Bob Dylan, and looking what was going on next. And just remember, this is when he's 70. And I want to point out some special numbers here, too. And you guys be patient, because I'm going to get to the power of prayer through Job in a moment. But listen to this. This is how blessed Job was. He had 7,000 sheep. Anytime the number 7 is mentioned in the good book, 7 is God's perfect number, right? You remember how many days did it take to create?
Right.
Right? And then we have 3,000 camels. What's 3?
The Trinity.
The Trinity. Yeah. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then 500 teams of oxen. 5 is the number of grace.
Grace. Yeah.
And remember what grace is? This is really important here. Grace is unmerited favor. God gives us what we don't deserve. We are blessed. We are abundantly blessed through Christ our Savior. Through the blood of Jesus, we have been saved. So that's God's grace.
So we can say that Job, from the first chapter, was amazing. Was just blessed abundantly.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. And what do you think? You in that place? I honestly, those of you that followed Beacon of Hope through the years on the radio show have heard some of my stories and heard many other stories. And I've been through some trials and tribulations, and, you know, I'm sure I haven't finished, but I am truly blessed. I feel like Job right now. I'm blessed in that, in my family. I'm blessed with financial blessing. I'm blessed with my physical. You know, I still feel like I can play football. I'm just not feeling like I should right now. But I feel blessed. So, you know, have you felt that way? How many people can truly feel blessed? And that's where Job is.
Right.
So here's the first point in our prayer. I mean, in our
study.
Learning.
Yeah.
In our study. Is what?
Is that he was blessed and going along, living a very blessed, you know,
abundantly blessed,
plentiful existence until one day.
But wait, when he's in this blessing, this is the key, and I don't think that a lot of us remember this, because when things are going rolling, hey, I'm living the good life, I'm, you know, financially blessed, I'm making my payments, I'm riding a nice car. How often do we lift our hands up? Because here, what did Job do? Job knew he was right, and not in an arrogant way. This really needs to be driven home, too, is Job didn't say, oh, I do no wrong. God blesses me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I do no wrong. He's like, I know I'm not doing wrong because I'm right with God. But just in case my children aren't, I need to sacrifice for them. I need to bring some offerings to God. So even while he's living the good life, ding, ding, living the good life, he's still praying.
Right.
He's still praying to make sure everybody else is right. During this time period, they didn't have priests or synagogues and churches that they went to every Sunday like we are blessed with today. So the patriarch in it was the priest, for lack of better terms, okay? So here we are. We're tooling along. Hey, what's happening? I'm living the good life. And what happens to many of us? There you go, Kat. There's your cue. And then along comes...
Right. still in chapter 1, starting with verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then. Everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job...
Nope, let's stop there.
Okay.
Because there's some important things to know about this Satan dude. Okay, and we really need to expose him. Okay, we need to that's one of the ways to continue with prayer and continue and get blessed and not get hung up. Because today's show is what stops, deters, discourages us from praying. And, you know, what is praying? We're going to talk about all that. What stops us from praying? What is praying? What's okay to do, kind of thing. And a couple of things that we really need to get down deep in our heart. First of all, you know, at first read, you think, "Ugh, I can't believe God's letting this happen. He can stop this." And boy, Satan's pulling a fast one on him. Doesn't it seem that way to you?
Yeah.
And so here's what we want to know. We want to point out. First and foremost, Satan is not equal to God. Ding. You're called out, Satan. You're not equal to God. And nobody's going to believe that, okay? God is the Alpha, the Omega. God is the Almighty. He is the Creator. He knows what's going on, okay? So Satan coming up, I'm just going to slide this one by, God. I'm going to say, "Oh, yeah, you don't think that was really great? I'm going to get another one for my hockey team." And no, that's not how it goes.
Well, it's interesting that he reports to God, just like the other angels.
See?
So he's not equal with God. He's below. That's... Yeah, he's an angel.
Mm-hmm.
And he's on the same level with the angels under God. So he's reporting along with the other angels to God. And he's bringing up a good point, saying, oh, well, of course Job is, you know, fears God and is obedient to God. He has all the blessings in the world. He has no struggles. Why wouldn't he be obedient?
And, you know, this is what I think about that piece, too, is, you know, this is where Satan gets into your head, too. Oh, boy, you sure are blessed. Something surely is going to go wrong here. And, you know, and I say a patooey on that one, too. Because God wants you to believe that. And, you know, and that's our knee-jerk reaction as human beings. Oh, how many times have
things
you heard...
Things are going too good.
Yeah. How many times have you heard that story?
Yeah.
Talk about finishing each other's sentences, mm-hmm. huh? How many times, oh, things are going too good, something's going to happen? No. You know what? I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I do not receive it. And that's what you do every time that thought pops in your head, because this is another exposing of the devil, is he cannot get in your head. He's incapable of it. He doesn't have the power. So no matter how much he can maybe put a thought there because he sees your behavior or whatever, but he can't get in there. He doesn't know what you're thinking. So this is where you say, no, mm-hmm. things are going good because I love God and God knows my heart, and they're going to continue going good. So rebuke that in the name of Jesus anytime that comes about. And that's an interesting point that you make there too with Satan, is that, oh, everything is going good. Of course he's going to feel blessed. Well, you know why? I think it's because Job praises and he respects God. And that's why he's continuously getting blessed for the last 70 years. Mm-hmm. Seven, God's perfect number. So we'll go on there. And what happens?
So Satan says, very well. I mean, the Lord says to Satan, very well, I will give him to you. You can't help. You can't harm him as a man, but you can take everything away from him.
Satan can't do anything, cannot do anything without God's permission.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking of Job here, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they were dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you.
Wow.
Wow. That's a lot of messengers coming while you're speaking. I'm thinking he was thinking, I've got a really bad day going on here.
No kidding. Right. And it is. It's and I'm almost feeling everybody going, uh-huh, looking at their radio or their computer screen going, that's right. I've had that day.
Yeah.
I've experienced it. And, you know, here's another exposing of the devil. Satan can only be one place at all times. And the reason why I want to mention that is all this stuff was happening. Satan himself was not actually there. Satan has his own entourage, unfortunately, but not as strong as we are in the name of Jesus. Satan has his demons out there mm-hmm. working for him, and that's who goes out and does all his dirty duties. But Satan himself cannot. His demons report back to him. So know that, my friends. And those demons are not the brightest bulbs in the box. So you can overcome them no matter what. So do not get discouraged, because Satan, although he may seem scary, and he's not, he has those little ding-dong demons doing his work because he can't. God is the Almighty and the Ultimate. So let's talk about that for a minute. Have you had one of those days?
Yeah, I think we all can relate to one of those days. I mean, this is a pretty banner bad day, though. I mean, first of all, his livestock, which back in those days, your wealth was measured by the amount of livestock you had. So all the livestock gone, Another measure of your wealth was the number of servants you had. All the servants gone. Crazy things like a fire fell from the sky.
A fire, you know, crazy.
Yeah, fire. So the supernatural, it sounds like. But what does Job do after all this?
But let's not jump on that yet.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about, you know, really how that relates to us now. Because, you know, it's when we're looking through and we're reading, oh, well, he lost his animals, you know, you can't really, there's not a whole lot of correlation. But how about we use this, you know, something now. Let's use this as an example.
Yeah, your job, your livelihood,
right.
Your finances.
And you even talked about the supernatural disasters. Let's use somebody that experienced Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here you are, plugging along, obedient to the Lord, and Katrina comes along. And that's a perfect example of getting totally wiped out. Because in one swift moment, mm-hmm. you've lost your house. You've lost your family, possibly, and mm-hmm. there are many lost their families.
Right.
And you quite possibly did lose your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is not something that just happened like to Job. This happens now because Satan, man, he has very little time left. He has got to discourage people. He's got to turn people away from God, and something like that happens. You know, I mean, it's crazy. It hurts. It's painful. And in this time, what happens when you're going through a terrible time? Do you turn to God? Do you? And what do? Do you say, why me, or do you say, use me?
Yeah, a lot of people say, why me?
Right. Yeah, why me?
Yeah.
Exactly. Why me? And that's just what Satan wants us to do. What did Job do? We're going to get to the
why
me.
Can I read it? I want to read it. At this, now, notice all through the chapter, it's saying he's speaking, and these terrible things about his wealth are taken away from him. But it wasn't until his family
mm-hmm.
were taken away did he react. And I'm starting at verse 20. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head.
Now, just as an explanation, that was a tradition, not... That was a form of a style of a tradition. That's what you did to show grief and to surrender yourself to God. So go ahead, Kat.
So he tore off his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. So even though his family was taken away from him, he didn't go to blaming God.
No.
And I think that it's interesting how we've probably all, sometime in our life, I learned it as the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. It's interesting here how you can really see it when you look at the story of Job, because all of his wealth, livestock, servants, really was given to him by God. He had that abundance because of God. And he looked at it and recognized it, that, yes, God gave him that, but he can also take it away. And that's God's business. I'm praising God. I'm not...
dropping to my knees.
Yeah. I'm not charging God with the wrongdoing. It's his to take away if he chooses to take it away.
That's right.
I found that really interesting.
And, you know, don't you think that's like the extreme level of, not extreme in a bad way, but extreme in a good way, extreme level of respect to know the sovereignty of God?
Yeah.
I mean, that's truly it.
Yeah.
And that's a key point here.
Mm-hmm.
In Job, you know, as I said, we've been doing this series on prayer. So let's just stop and have a little sidebar here on praying. Praying to me is having a conversation with God. Praying to me is a lot of different things. It's almost like a universal word when you say meditate or this or that or anything else. What does praying mean to you, Kat?
It's having a relationship with God. It's nothing, you know, people think you have to have a formal prayer that you say to God, you know, at a set time in the week or something, or you go to pray to God when you're asking for something. To me, that's not prayer. Prayer to me is just, like you said, having a conversation with God, as informal or formal as you want. Pastor Jim today in our service told us that lots of times when he prays, he actually takes a psalm out of the Bible or some of his favorite verses, because there are teachings in the Bible where Jesus is telling his disciples and those who follow him that, you know, you should be praying. I want you to pray. You need to be in the Word. And so he told us that it's very pleasing to God when you're praying from the Bible and you're praying
the Word,
the Word, the living Word, and that's pleasing to God. So I thought that was a nice...
I did too. I like the analogy he used. Well, he was saying it wasn't his analogy, but he looked up meditation. You know, you meditate with the Word, the actual words of the Bible, mm-hmm. the Scripture. And, you know, formal prayers aren't... We're not saying that they're a bad thing either, but, you know, it. Don't just say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Right. He got into memorization, you know, and I was one. I grew up in a Catholic church. You're told to memorize certain prayers, and you can say them, and the words are coming out of your mouth, and you don't think about those words, that is not prayer, okay? That is not something God is listening to.
Let's say that again, because we're not saying reading those prayers are wrong.
No.
It's what's in your heart when you're reading those prayers, right?
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with... One of my favorite prayers is the Our Father, but...
Because it shows his true nature.
Right. But it's you're not memorizing, you're not regurgitating words, you know, like you do when you study and you have your... You know,
spelling words,
your note cards, or your cheat notes, or whatever you want to call them, and you've memorized those because you're preparing for a test. Prayer isn't just, you know, knowing those words off the top of your tongue without any reflection on those words. So,
right. And what he said is he researched what meditate was, and meditation is like a cow chewing their cud. And as gross as it sounds, is what I love. He's like, it sounds gross, I know, but it is when you say, you like a cow chewing its cud. It's they have the cud, the spit and the vomit. They puke it up, throw it up, chew it, swallow it, regurgitate it. Instead of puke, I'll use regurgitate. That's a better word, huh?
It sounds better, please.
And chew it a little bit more.
I don't know if I can drink the rest of my coffee now.
Yeah, it is looking a little cuddy. So, you know, you have this cud, you swallow it, you regurgitate it, chew it up a little bit more. And then he goes on to say, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Yeah, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
And thy kingdom come above us, will be done here on earth. Hallelujah. You know, when you go through it and you regurgitate it and you meditate on it, the words are alive. They come alive, alive, just like young Frankenstein. Those who saw the Gene Simmons.
No more caffeine for you, by the
Gene
way.
Gene Wilder. Gene Simmons.
She must have watched a lot of scary movies. Regurgitation. Uh-huh.
That's right. I know. Halloween's over, by the way.
Right. Exactly. I got to watch it. So, and you know, here's the other thing that we did touch a little bit about Wednesday as well is, you know, having that relationship. This is what you said. You have this relationship with God. So you pray to him. You talk to him. You know, and that's pretty much how I think of it. Once I got past, after I regurgitated a couple of scriptures, I started thinking, wait a second, prayer isn't just, you know, reading this and saying, glory be, hallelujah, rejoice, rejoice. It's really talking to God.
Mm-hmm. Good times and bad times. He wants to hear from you. You want to have a relationship with him. Well, let's talk about that.
Exactly. Let me ask you this,
Not
Catherine.
Not everybody has a relationship
exactly.
with him. Exactly.
Yeah. So are you going to go into 7-Eleven and talk to the 7-Eleven clerk about the good times and the bad times?
No.
Now, I paused there for a second because I was thinking, my brother used to work at a 7-Eleven, and he used to tell me that you do build relationships because you get the same customers, so you very well may have a relationship with them. But, you know, just somebody that you're passing by, and are you going to tell them about, you know, the devastating things that are happening or the great things that are happening, you know, to somebody you don't know? Okay, that you don't know. Are you going to share the good times, the bad times? Are you going to talk to that person as in depth or as involved with as you do with, say, your partner?
No, no.
Your
family,
father,
family members,
your friend.
No, no, you don't do that. You don't. So that's why if you're in the habit of talking to God, and our engineer Bill just gave me a good line. He said the phone lines are always open with God.
Amen. Isn't
and that,
that the
means
truth?
Whether it's a good time or a bad time, he wants to hear you talk to him. You know, that makes him smile that you're conversing with him. So and when it becomes second nature like that, you know, it's very easy to thank him for something good. It's very easy to go to prayer if you have a friend that's ill, a family member sick. You know, you go to him in prayer because you're in prayer with him all the time anyway. So that's
and even if you don't know what, because this is what I was thinking about, what just popped in my head. When you talk to your sister Mary Ann, do you guard your words? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you just say, yeah, how things going, Kat? And she'll say, hey, how's things going, Kath? Are you going to say, great, everything's groovy? I mean, or are you going to share?
Yeah, you talk about what's really going on, yeah.
Like what? Give me some of those examples.
Like something at work or a porch party in our neighborhood or...
A good thing?
You know, an art festival coming up or whatever's going on. You just talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, I have my best friend is Leah and Catherine, of course. And but, you know the relationship you have with partners and significant others and people like that, but... that's kind of a known thing. So, or even I will use you is, you know, when I have new customers, I'm like, oh, I'm so jacked up. I'm so excited. And the first person I call is Catherine. And I go, hey, you know, this is what happened. And, you know, these are the wonderful things. Or with what I was saying with Leah, too, when she had cancer, what happened? When she found out she had cancer, because we're not claiming the cancer anymore, she called me up. And we're like, we cried a lot. We laughed a lot. And in fact, one of the things she said to me while we were both bawling our eyes out, she's like, I'm not ready to die yet. It's not because I don't know Jesus. It's just because I'm not finished. Mm-hmm. She goes, we're supposed to be rocking on those old hickory rockers up on the porch when we're 86 years old and everybody making fun about me, how short I am, you know, and those are the type of things. And, you know, you're like, why? I know how to talk to my friends and family, Michelle. Well, you know what? That's how God wants us to talk to him.
Yeah. What would you say to people that are out there that say, well, I don't pray because I don't believe in God. So I don't believe there's anybody listening to my prayer. What would you say to that person?
First of all, I'd help them find Jesus. The biggest thing is we hear that a lot. Why do good things happen? Bad things happen to good people, and good things.
Good things happen to bad people.
Good things happen to bad people, and good things happen to bad people. I said that twice, right?
Yeah, you did. We all got it. Let's try to not say it again. We all got it.
Well, there's bad people. That's what I wanted to say. There's bad people that good things happen to, too. That's where I was going with it, okay?
We said it. Bill and I got it already, okay?
Thank you. But I'm just trying to use a little comic relief on the radio show. Welcome to Living the Good Life here in Clearwater, Florida. I lost my whole
train of thought. Let's not avoid the question here. The question was,
exactly.
Why would somebody pray when they don't believe in God? They don't believe anybody's listening, so they wouldn't be praying.
That's right. And
so
let's premise it with this, okay? Faith, trust, love, belief are all intangible, okay? All intangible. So that's what it comes right down to is faith, trust, love, and belief, okay? People who are on the fence or completely don't even understand, you have to know the Bible. And, you know, the one thing that has been proven, because the people who don't believe in God, in my opinion, don't need facts. Need the facts.
One of my I've been there.
Yeah, and I have too. I would be a bold-faced liar if I said I haven't. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you, one of the biggest, and I've said this probably over a year ago, my biggest argument to that is, first of all, I believe. I can't show you my belief. And I trust in the Lord. And I trust Jesus as my Savior. But, and I can't prove that. But there was a movie some years ago called Contact with Jodie Foster and Matthew McConaughey. And Jodie Foster was a scientist in this movie. And she did not believe in God. She had a very strong relationship with her father because she was going into space and there were some people, religious people, that were opposed to it. And she's like, I don't care. And Matthew McConaughey's character is like, you have to care about everybody. You know how this affects everybody. She goes, well, I don't believe in God, blah, 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 blah. She had a very strong relationship with her father. She lost, you know, she lost her father. And she said to him, you know, there is no God. And he goes, I believe there is. And she goes, prove it. And she goes, and this is Matthew McConaughey's response to her. Did you love your dad? Did you love your father? And she was indignant. Of course I loved my father. He goes, prove it. So that's where I would start. If we're going to get in a battle of proving it, I can't. Mm-hmm. Okay? I simply can't. Yeah. Because God is way bigger than that. Okay? It is my belief. And if you want to walk with me, I'll share my belief. And in this Bible, there are a lot of facts.
Yeah.
What would you say?
I would say that, you know, people have said to me, I have many blessings, financial blessings. I'm living the good life. I don't believe in God, but I am living the good life. And I think that's great that you are. But I would like to encourage people that you could be even living a more blessed life and feel like you have more meaning to your life.
Meaning.
If you just would.
So right there. Let me stop you there
because
we want to elaborate on meaning.
If you would make the effort to learn about, let's just say, Jesus' life. I don't care what Bible you want to read or what stories. If you would be get your motivation peaked to study Jesus' life, he teaches us everything. How mm-hmm. to treat one another, how to love one another, how, you know, what it's really all about as far as having the best example for living our lives and purpose in our life. And you just have to somehow get motivated to want to do that, to want to read, you know, some of those chapters, some of those, you know, stories in the Bible. And, you know, no one can prove to you its existence. It's something that if you do take the time to study it, and I'm one who didn't believe, if you do take the time to study it, it becomes so real to you that you can't deny it.
You're right. And I liked what you said at the very beginning. Is when you say,
it's time to
you
go
know,
to the next song.
That's we'll get to it. Is the meaning in your life? You can have all these wonderful things happening in your life and feel like, well, I'm blessed, or I'm blessed already. Why do I need God? We're going to talk about that true meaning.
We're going to come back to
after that.
Yeah.
But right now, we are going to listen to "You Can Have Me" by Sidewalk Prophets.
If I saw you on the street. And you said, come and follow me. But I had to give up everything. All I once held dear and all of my dreams. Would I love you enough to let go? Or would my love run dry when you ask for my life? Unmoving. When did love become unconsuming? Forgetting what the world has told me. Father of love, you can have me. You can have me. If you're all you claim to be, losing anything.
the joy of suffering. I will love you enough to let go. Lord, I give you my life. I give you my life. When the love become unmoving, when the love become unconsumed,
right, that was wonderful. You can have me. That's surrendering. Don't you think?
Yep.
Just don't, you can have me. That's it. Why me or use me? Mm-hmm. What's your response when something devastating happens to you? Why me or use me? So let's wrap that part up of it. Is we are going someplace, guys, so stay on the train. Is Catherine was pointing out, you know, that guy next door or that gal at work or whatever saying, you know, I have all kinds of awesome things going on in my life. You know, I have this and I have that. And, you know, I have a great family. I have great things. Why do I need God? And my thought to that is, I suspect, obviously, I can't prove any of this, but you have all these great things, but do you feel like something's missing?
Right.
You know, is there a void? You know, when you, you're rushing outside to go outside and you're going to work or you're late for an appointment and you're rushing outside and you're like, God, I know I'm forgetting something. That feeling like you're missing or forgetting something.
Yeah.
If you have that, if you have everything and you have that feeling of like something's missing, and what I like Connie says, there's a hole in your heart. There's a void. There's something missing. That something is God. So bring them to Jesus. And if you have any questions about anything we're talking about now, anything you're going through the Bible, any trials, struggles, tribulations, or, you know, you want to talk about wonderful things happening in your life, please contact Pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries. That'll go to Pastor Marcia. And if you want to specify you want to speak to someone specifically, I'm the associate pastor, Michelle Cardinal, and then we have associate pastor, Jim Ellsbury. And you can direct anything to them if you have any questions. If you have any prayer requests, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But for today's show, Kat, you want to tell them how?
Yeah,
they can...
if you have any questions about what we're talking about, or you have any comments that fits in, or examples of what we're talking about, please go ahead and email us. We check the email during the show, and it's at
Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Right.
And that's Pastor at beaconofhopeministries, IES.com. And we have access to that, so we can ask if you have any questions, comments. We take everything over here about what we're doing here today. And let's get back to Job. Because you're like, wow, that's a really cool conversation. But it doesn't seem like we're really, what does that have to do with Job? This seemed like a man of God. He was praying. Well, that's why we're using Job. Is Job is showing us, here it is, in the time he lost his livelihood, his wealth, his family, his children, not his wife. His wife's still alive here. But what does Job do when this happens? He drops to his knees. Catherine read what he said. I came naked. You know, you gave everything. You can take it away. But Job did not hide his overwhelming grief, did he? He dropped to his knee. He had not lost his faith in God. And this is what I'm encouraging everybody to do, because this is what, remember, topic of our radio show, what stops us from praying? What stops, deters, discourages us? This is a pretty big deterrent, I think. But what does he do? He does not lose his faith in God. Instead, his emotions showed he was human and that he loved his family. God created our emotions. He doesn't want us to stifle them. Mm-hmm. Okay, he created our emotions, and it is not sinful. I want to drive this home to you guys out there. And, you know, I'm preaching the choir. I'm talking to myself. You know, God created our emotions, and it is not sinful or inappropriate to express them as Job did. If you have experienced a deep loss, a disappointment, or a heartbreak, admit your feelings to yourself and others and grieve. Now, this is what we were talking about as far as having a relationship with God. Are you going to feel comfortable doing that with somebody you don't know? You're going to feel kind of funky doodle, right?
You're not going to do it.
You're not. And that's why you want to build that relationship with God. So, because honestly, this is a form of prayer. It really is, because you're talking to him. Mm-hmm. You know, those of you that have that are parents out there, think about this. If your child is going through a terrible time in their life, do you want them to just go talk to somebody they don't know? Or do you want them to come talk to you?
You want them to come talk to you. Yeah.
And how do you feel when they come and talk to you?
Honored.
Honored. What else? Like, I can fix this. I'm going to help them through this. And that's how God is. God wants his children to talk to him all the time, no matter what. And I think it's really kind of interesting, because Job does go through kind of some of the grieving processes, those of you that have lost anybody.
Well, I read a note that said with the tearing of the robe and the shaved head, mm-hmm. that was, for that time, a sign of mourning. So he is mourning his children when he drops to his knees.
That's what it was. I'm sorry, I did make a mistake on saying that was a form of surrendering to God. That is a sign of mourning. I got that mixed up with the something else I read in Leviticus. I was talking to Catherine earlier about shaving your heads and what the rabbis did when they were going into that. And they were making that commitment and that sort of thing. But it is. It's a sign of mourning. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I'm putting the cart ahead of the horse here. So you're building this relationship with God so you can not be deterred. Because we already talked about Satan deters and discourages you from getting in with God by trying to attack you, right? As mm-hmm. he did with Job, right? Mm-hmm. And then he gets it another way, is you just get discouraged because all this stinky stuff keeps happening to you. How do you expect to praise when I have to deal with all this yuck? You know, what am I going to do? So what happens next? Here's Job praying, you know, crying out, grieving to God. What happens next to Job after he goes through his loss with lost his family and his livelihood? What was the next thing Satan went to say?
Next thing, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life. But stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well, then he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
Right. And once again, you know, here's a couple of things I want to note, because when I read this first, it's like, God, man, why does Satan think he can play God like that? Is that not some business right there? I think that's baloney. And again, driving this home, you guys, Satan has to get permission from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
He's limited by God.
He is limited by God. And let me ask you this. Why is God letting this happen? Before you answer that, I want to ask you, do you think God is like, hey, I want to see how this plays out? You know, let me just see, because I don't really know. So let's see what Satan has to do to my buddy, best guy, Job. Let's see what happens. Do you think he knew what was going to happen?
Yeah, I think he knew what was going to happen. So who's he doing this for?
Who's he doing this for? Who is he doing this for? I got to share with you that most of my Beaconites are really getting tired of hearing is, it was a totally different Bible study, but Pastor Jim said one thing that has set with me, and it's really deep down in my heart now, because I think about this all the time. Remember when God told Abraham to take Isaac up to the altar because he was going to sacrifice? And remember all the rigmarole that Abraham had to go through to even have Isaac? And here he is, 16 years old, his beloved son that he's waiting for from God. And now God's asking him to sacrifice him? I mean, and Abraham's like, got to do it. You know, and he brought Isaac up there. And Pastor Jim said, God knew what Abraham was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just like God knows what Job's going to do. Just like God knows what the devil's doing. God knows he's the father of lies, right? Trickery, all that stuff. God knows. This isn't for God's benefit. He's not like a puppet master with a bunch of puppets down here. He knows what's going to happen. It's for us.
Mm-hmm.
This is for us. Abraham brought Isaac to the altar so Abraham would know how much he loved and honored and respected God.
Right.
So Abraham knew for himself. So Job will know for himself. And you know what? Not for anything. So Satan knows how strong and almighty God is, and how our love is strong and overcomes anything.
How about all the people in Job's town? How about all the surrounding towns that would hear the story? So...
How about today?
We're 2010. Still talking about it. How about for us?
Exactly.
I think the story's for us.
And what do we?
It's not for.
No, it's not for God.
God to wonder.
Knows.
Yeah,
he knows how the story ends. Okay, he really does. And I use this analogy in the in Bible study Wednesday night. I said, you know, my mom is one of those people who, when they go and get the book, my mom wants to read the last page to make sure it's a good book, and my mother's and Catherine's like, just. Mortified, beside herself, thinking, how can you read the end? Well, you know what? Not saying that my mom's God, but she's God-like in that she knows the end of the story. She knows it's a good ending, and so does God. It's for us. And what this is what we would like to refer to.
How can anybody read the last page of a book? Whole purpose to read
Helen.
The book is to wonder about the ending.
Exactly.
You can't read the last page.
See,
I don't understand that.
And you know, that's a good point, right, Kat? But God does. And he's doing it for our benefit.
Well, he's the only one that can.
That's right. Just so you know that, God. She just said that for your sake.
I think it's time for a station ID.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for our station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Thank you, Brother Bill, for keeping us on track. I thought we had a couple more minutes. I was just anyway.
No problem. Oh, what was that word that you used? Let me see. I forgot the word that you used earlier.
Regurgitate?
Rigamarole.
Oh, yeah, rigamarole.
Rigamarole.
Is that a sandwich at Five Guys?
That is. No. It's
very
a,
popular.
It's it will be a sandwich at my new diner. Rigamarole. You get it, everybody? Roll.
Well, I you know, how do I go about donating again if I wanted to donate something?
If you want to donate something, you go to beaconofhopeministries.com. That's our website.
Right on the website, you can give a donation through PayPal.
Yes, you can do give a donation, because if you look at that website page, you'll see down in the corner, you know, you donate PayPal. There's a little button, ding, ding.
And what do those donations go to, Michelle?
You can say what they go to. It's kind of like this. It says the general thing, and it'll go to Beacon of Hope Ministries, okay?
What do we do with that?
Well, let me finish here, right?
Okay.
Missy, I got to have my time here, too. We can donate to the pastor's salary. We can donate to the publishing. We can donate to the radio show. We can donate to the website. If you want to specify what your money goes to, you can specify. Or you can click into the general, just pay general, and then we divvy it out. Basically, what a lot of our stuff goes to is at our current place, our current establishment, we have things like rent. We have other things like electricity,
yes,
that we have to pay. We have
like
the passion.
Everybody else, we have operational bills.
Costs.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We also have ministries out there as well. And the more we build, the more ministries we will have. The radio show is another strong ministry we have. And this is what people mostly donate to, is to Beacon of Hope. And that goes for our functioning. Like one of the things that are free is our counseling. We provide counseling at Beacon of Hope, and that's at no cost to anybody to come and be counseled. And remembering that we are Christian-based and Spirit-led, that's the main thing. Beacon of Hope, our house of the Lord. And then the radio show, and then we have publishing and that sort of thing. And the pastor's salary, but that kind of goes under the house of the Lord kind of thing. And then, you know what? We have a prayer ministry out there. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Kat?
Yes, we have a prayer team that will pray for any, you know, concerns, hopes, dreams. We have a real strong prayer team, both inside and out of the area. So if you would like to make a prayer request, we'd be happy to pray for you. And you just have to send that by email to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and we would be glad to put that out to the whole group and be praying for you. And it'd be great if you want to let us know the outcome of that, if a prayer was answered, or sometimes it's answered but not in the way that you had us praying for, and that's fine too. We love to do that. We keep track of those prayers and outcomes if we have them, and it's nice to go back and look back and see. You know, we've had healings, we've had financial blessings, you know, that we've prayed for, new jobs for people, a change in a job. And we try to keep track and do a report every couple months on what those prayers have done. So
I have a testimonial.
And
okay.
Bill has a testimonial.
Let's hear one.
Bill. Let's hear it.
How many people on the prayer team?
Well, we have prayer warriors, and not only in Beacon of Hope, there are other churches throughout the country that are part of this.
Well, the reason I say prayer team, you know, is it like a bowling team? Like if you lose one of your bowlers, is there somebody there to pick up the slack?
Yes.
Well, we add to it all the time, but I would say there's a couple hundred people now.
Yeah, but
on
the people who take the emails, is that what you're talking to? We have several people that pick up the emails, and then they send it out to all the prayer warriors. Yeah. The prayer warriors are throughout the country with even different church groups.
Mm-hmm.
And not even church groups, because we have a lot of people that this radio show is their church and all those places I mentioned earlier. So it comes into prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and then it dumps into, we have
five
main
people will pick it up and
send it out along with a prayer.
So there's not just like 10 people on the prayer team.
No. We're
many.
Talking there's hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your bell?
Yep, ready for that bell.
Are you ready for the bell?
Let's
hear it. You know, and the engineer here, and I will testify, they did pray for me over the weekend, and everything's okay now.
It's a praise report. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So I don't know how many people were on the prayer team for me.
But yeah. Oh, yeah. Hundreds, Bill.
Yeah.
Hundreds, Brother Bill.
We're glad to hear.
That's a great testimony. And that's a praise report. And that's what we like to hear. We like to hear prayer requests.
Thank you so much.
And prayers reports. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Brother Bill. Because that is what we love to say in the business is a faith builder.
Right.
Okay. And that's what this story of Job is all about. It's a faith building story. Thank you for that segue. But real quick, we want to talk about one other thing before we get back into it, and that is a business partner. If you want to be a business partner with Beacon of Hope Ministries, just give us a call. Go to either info at Beacon of Hope Ministries, pastor at Beacon of Hope Ministries, if you want to become a business partner, and then we'll run your commercial during the show. And we appreciate that. And know that tithing not only comes in financial ways, but that is one way. Tithing, you know, monetary, that is a way, using your advertising, and time is another way. And that's one of those things that we do with counseling, and we have some housekeeping at the church that we do, and that's another form of tithing. So we appreciate and thank the good Lord for all your donations, and it's to glorify God, just as Job did. And he glorified God, which leads us right into the next song, Everything I Need, Cutlass.
When every step is so hard to take, and all my hope is fading away, when life is a mountain that I cannot climb, you carry me. Jesus, carry me.
I keep saying that, I know, but I love these songs. And I have to tell you, is Con made a CD, and we were listening to it on the way in, and these songs are on that as well. So, you know, it's that simple. What Jesus tells us is just, you know, love each other and love God and love each other, and loving God. These are the things, you know, there's a reason, and you can have me, and everything I need is in you. Just like Cutlass said there. And we're driving that home today, aren't we, Kat?
We are, and we heard from one of our friends at Beacon of Hope, Nan Asher. She said, thanks so much for sharing with us about the struggles of Job. It helps us realize that God will keep us through difficulties of our lives.
Yes.
He will keep us. He will keep us focused on the bigger picture. He'll keep us surviving. And we will have struggles just like Job did. And we all, you know, some of us have, so.
It is, and we will. And the question is not, will we, right? It's when.
Will we, yeah.
When. And getting through those times of trials and tribulations is through God. Keep your eyes focused on him. Mm-hmm. Keep your eyes fixed on me, says the Lord. And we're not going to get really deep into really all the sores and ickiness and physical attacks that Job went through. But,
well, it must have been terrible. He had him from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. So, yeah.
That's worse than talking about the cut, I think. So, but we have we have a pretty good idea of how badly stricken he was physically. So, to recap here, he has been struck down. His animals, his wealth, all taken away. His family, all taken away.
His servants,
all taken away. Yeah. And now he's been attacked physically. What left? What left is there to be attacked from? What more? While this was all happening, Job had a couple of friends, and I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase the next 20 chapters or so. Because, and I'm telling y'all out there, if you really get this and read this, read it. The whole story mm-hmm. of Job, because he has, I mean, it goes first round of discussion, Eliphaz's response continues, second speech, response to Eliphaz, you know, Bilhah's first response to Job, fourth speech, sixth speech, all these things. And in all of that, they're trying to figure out, what did you do, Job, to deserve this, right? I mean, first, I do want to make this, you know, in the studying part of the Bible, I thought this was really interesting, is he has these three friends, okay? They heard about what happened. They feel very sad for him, so they come to visit. And an old Jewish tradition is, which I think we should revive
adopt,
here.
Adopt, yeah.
To adopt, exactly. Thank you for that, Kat, is... The friends came, and the Jewish tradition is you don't say anything until the mourner says something. So Job's three friends sat there for 7 days and seven nights and didn't say a thing. And, you know, I think we should adopt that, because sometimes I know I've experienced great loss of a family member, and I've had some other struggles and sometimes you just don't want to hear anything, because you know what? No words are going to make it okay. Mm-hmm. And they just sat there quietly until he spoke. And then you kind of wish they didn't speak. I'm sure, I bet you kind of wonder if Job's like, God, man, I wish I never spoke so you guys would still be quiet. But it's just a thought, you guys, you know, so when you're consoling somebody in a time of grieving, or when they're upset about something, losing a house, losing a job, that sort of thing, just be quiet. Mm-hmm. Because your simple presence is support,
right?
And comfort enough. So that was just a little sidebar that I really enjoyed learning. The other thing is, through this time with his friends, you know, his friends are like, so what did you do, man? You must have done something wrong. You must not have done something right. Da 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 da. Back and forth. And I kind of look at it as they were getting in his head. Don't you think?
Yeah.
And they were getting into his head, and Job is like, yeah, what did I do? I lived my life right. You know, why do I deserve this? This stinks. And you know what he started doing? He started questioning God. He started questioning God. Now, again, and he got angry with God.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, why are you doing this to me? I mean, this is more toward the end after, well, Job was talking. He had a couple of speeches in there, and he's like, he first got irritated with his friend saying, you people really know everything, in Job 12. But and then he defends his innocence. Job defends his innocence in Job 17. My spirit is crushed, and my life is nearly snuffed out. The grave is ready to receive me, and I am surrounded by mockers. Do you feel like that sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
I watch how bitterly they taunt me. You must defend my innocence, O God. See, he's getting like, God, you know, help me. Since no one else will stand up for me, you have closed their minds to understanding. But you don't let them triumph. They betray their friends and their own advantage, so let their children faint with hunger. What he's just doing is he's getting frustrated. He's like, aren't you going to help me out here, God? And he's getting frustrated and angry. The reason why I wanted to bring that out is that it's okay. As long as you're not disrespectful, like using the name Lord's name in vain, that sort of thing, it's okay to get angry. And it's okay to ask questions. Have you ever been in a situation like that?
Yeah, because we don't always understand at the time, you know, of trouble why something's happening. You know, you can look back a year, 2 years out, and you say, right. Oh, that's why I was supposed to change jobs. Mm-hmm. Or that's why I was supposed to move there. And at the time, it doesn't make sense. And there can be a lot of anxiety and anger, you know, associated with a troubled turmoil, a death of a friend or family member or a sickness. And but we said earlier that good things, no, I'm going to say it right. Bad things do happen to good people. And I think Job is an example of that. He was a God-fearing, good man, very, you know, blessed man, and bad things started to happen to him. And I think that the message for me here is you don't lose your faith during those times. You continue to have faith.
And it's true.
And how long did he suffer?
Well, we're going to get to that.
Okay.
But I was reading some commentary, and I'm like, oh, no kidding on this one. And, you know, back to what Pastor Jim said, when you're reading the scripture and, you know, you read it and then you swallow it and then you regurgitate mm-hmm. it and read it again and it's going on. You know, here he lost everything, family wealth, and then he's physically attacked, and then he has these friends come and comfort him, do my air quotes again. And, you know, I'm thinking, and his wife's alive. And remember what Catherine read earlier? It's like, oh, you too, woman? It's almost like Caesar. Et tu, Brutus? Et tu? You know, you're gonna battle me here too? Where's your integrity? And I almost think this is worse than everything else because it's getting in his head.
Yeah.
It's messing with his head. Yeah. And how many times do we allow things to mess with our head? And that's where, again, what stops us, deters us, and discourages us from praying? Our mind. We are, what did Marla used to say? Stinking thinking?
Mm-hmm.
You get so consumed with this stupid thinking, and the more you think about it, the worse it is. And there's an analogy that Pastor Marsha uses of the dime. If you take a dime out of your pocket and you hold it close, like an inch from your eye, that's all you see is that dime. And that's like whatever trouble you're going through.
Right.
Yeah. You just focus in on that dime. That's all you can see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you put that dime way out, arm's length, you see everything else around. That dime doesn't seem so big and overwhelming.
Yeah.
So what we tend to do is
humans. Where's your focus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we do is we just think about that one thing. We don't do it. Keep your eyes fixed on me, saith the Lord. Keep your eyes fixed on me. And that's what Job was trying to do because he was defending himself. I'm innocent. I'm not haughty. I'm not, you know, I don't covet money. You know, and he's defending himself, and he finally gets to a point where he's frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point is, what do we know Job for? All his suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Poor guy. All his suffering. And you're going to hang on to that because we're going to come back to that. In our next segment, I still want to focus on what keeps us from praying. Did Job stop praying when his friends are like, well, you did something wrong? Did he stop?
I don't think he stopped praying. Do I remember right?
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, he consistently prayed. Yeah.
He consistently prayed. And he got angry with God, but then he did start questioning God. You know, the first thing when Job was lost everything, he dropped to his knees and he praised God, saying, and recognizing God's sovereignty, is saying, you know, you gave me everything. You can take it all away. So he respected God. He thanked God. And then he cried out to God when he lost his family. That was pretty devastating to him. And, you know, these are going through the steps of the grievances. And then he got angry with God, and then he started questioning God. Do you remember that part?
Just from the sermon this morning. I hadn't reread that section recently, like I did the beginning. But from what I remember, he was questioning God because it was sort of like he didn't have any support. Like all of his support, those three friends that came, and the neighbors and village people, they all were
thinking he was guilty of something.
Guilty
and
of
he
something,
wasn't fessing
and he,
up.
He was being punished for something. And I think that, you know, he didn't have someone fighting his cause.
Yeah.
So I remember it wearing him down. But
and what he said, this is what he said to God. What I just read too is he went, "Where are you, God? You're not even defending me.
Yeah.
You know, where are you? Do you not even care about me anymore?
Yeah.
You know, should I go? You know." And we read and Wednesday night, and we read it before we came here. Is like, you know, I cursed the day that I was born,
mm-hmm.
because obviously you didn't care enough about me. And you don't care enough about me, remember?
So why was I even born?
Yeah, why was I even born? I mean, I wish darkness on that day. I wish, you know, there was no boy, birth of a boy named Joe.
Yeah.
He's like, what? You know, obviously I'm not important enough to you.
Right.
And I'm getting a feeling, I'm getting the yeah, pointing to the computer screen and the radio again, because many of us have felt that, like, where are you, God?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
You know, where are you?
There's probably people out there right now that are thinking, where are you? I've got nobody supporting
Nothing.
Me.
Yeah. And all these people are attacking me.
Yeah.
And you're not even there to back me up. You don't
right.
even got my back, yo. And that is a perfect segue for this very next song, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes. One of your favorites.
Yes,
I know
it
you
is.
Like the song. Yeah.
It is. It is Through It All by Sela.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation, that my trials only come to make me strong.
I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was his own.
just follow my lead. I've learned to trust in Jesus.
Sing it.
I've learned to trust in God. How do you know you trust? Is that something you can prove to anyone?
I don't think you can prove that. I think it's like faith.
Yep, a little bit like faith, a little bit like love. Get that deep down in your souls, brothers and sisters, because it's all about faith, love, and trust, and just believing it. Believing it. Believing he will get it you through it all. The highest mountains, the deepest sea. And that's what was happening with Job. So you see how this kind of wraps up a little bit? Here's why I was led to Job, is how much we can learn. What Nan Asher said, you know, we can learn so much from Job because we can relate Job to now. We can, you know, while we may not have 7,000 sheep, we do have a $250,000 mortgage. You know what I'm saying? Well, we may not have a 5,000 camels.
Yeah.
We have a $15,000 vehicle.
Right.
And actually, that's a cheap vehicle nowadays. So $20,000 vehicle.
Right.
Okay? We have family. We can relate to that and losing family for crazy reasons, drinking and driving and supernatural things like hurricanes and tsunamis and all that craziness.
Earthquakes.
So, again, you guys, we got 42 chapters of Job, and we only had less than 120 minutes to talk about it. So I'm going to just give you the synopsis of what we just talked about before on the backside of the break. Is the last issue that Job had to deal with was his friends. Well, comforting, and they did the right things. It was frustrating. And, you know, along with the nagging wife. How about that one?
Yeah.
And to top it off with a cherry, you got a nagging wife.
You'd always think that the wife would support you, but no. Even she tells him to just die.
Yeah, just why don't you just curse God? Why don't you just curse him and get it over with? Geez, stop living your life. I need the Milan mode, for criminy's sake. No, Job says, don't you have integrity? And isn't that what this is about? Integrity, the respect of the Lord, honoring the Lord, glorifying the Lord no matter what happens. And how can you glorify, honor, and respect someone you don't know? So
get to know him.
That's right. And let me share with you how God felt about all this. This is Job 38. Lick those fingers, turn the pages to Job 38. Don your pen. Write this down. Now, prior to this chapter, Job asked a couple of questions. And instead of answering Job's question directly, God asked Job a series of questions. Okay? And I'm going to tell you how Job responds, but during difficult times, we too must humbly remember our position before the eternal, holy, incomprehensible God. Job 38, the Lord challenges Job. You know, I kind of had a little internal shudder because I'm thinking, I would never want the Lord to challenge me. That's kind of freaky, you know, because that's my respect. Reverence toward him. The Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Or do you want to read this, Kat?
Well, we have different versions. You want to read it in the Message Bible, or you want me to read it in
NIV? I do not have the Message Bible today.
Oh, okay.
I have my Life Application Study Bible.
Okay.
And what it says here is, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words?
Ouch.
Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you. And you must answer them. Do you want to pick it up from there?
Sure. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand, who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no farther, here is where your proud waves halt. How far you want me to go?
Have you ever commanded the morning to appear and caused the dawn to rise in the east? Have you made daylight spread to the ends of the earth to bring an end to the night's wickedness? As the light approaches the earth, takes shape, as light approaches, the earth takes shape like clay pressed beneath a seal. It is robed in brilliant colors. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of a little bit bigger, larger than Job, huh?
A little bit. He's sitting here, and what was he saying? Surprisingly, he didn't answer any of Job's questions. Is a little commentary down here. Job's questions were not at the heart of the issue. Instead, God used Job's ignorance of the earth's natural order to reveal his ignorance of God's moral order. If Job did not understand the workings of God's physical creation, how could he possibly understand God's mind and character? You know, there's no standard or criterion higher than God himself by which to judge. God himself is the standard. Our only option is to submit to his authority and rest in his care. I find that last piece right there, submit to his authority and rest in his care. Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm. They're almost like polar opposites there. But that's it. I love that part. Because, again, the Lord didn't say this to tout his brilliance and his almightiness. This is for Job. Mm-hmm. And year 2010, we're still reading and learning it. And it's faith building, right? And what stops us from praying? What deters us from praying? All this discouragement, all these terrible things. And what does Job do? What's Job's response to God is recognizing God's way are the best. No human could possibly answer any of this. Mm-hmm. And that God asked him. So we start here in Job 38, and God goes on, you know, can you make it a pet like a bird, or give to your little girls to play with? This is in Job 41:5. Well, merchants, oh, I skipped over it. I apologize, you guys. Can you catch a Leviathan? Sorry about the enunciation there. With a hook, or put a noose into its jaws? Can you tie it with a rope through your nose and pierce its jaws with a spike? Will it beg for your mercy? And he goes on, like, he can't do that. Job can't do that. Again, he's showing his power. And back to what I read in the commentary is, let me get back to that, sorry. Where did 38 go? Here we go. To submit to his authority and rest in his care. He goes from 38 through 41, God talks about what his, and questions Job, and tells Job, answer these questions, and obviously Job can't. So in response to God's speech, Job humbles himself. God rebukes his three friends for adding to Job's suffering. Mm-hmm. Don't you find that interesting? He rebukes the friends. It's like, you just added to his suffering. And that was, you know, some of those things that you have no control over, and it's not even saying it's the people. This is a perfect example, suffering by their false assumptions and critical attitudes. That's another thing that stops us from praying, isn't it? The attitudes. Job's material possessions and families are restored, but we'll get to that later. Job's response to the Lord. You want to read that in NIV?
Sure, that's
42. Job 42.
Yeah, starting at 42. I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand. Things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak, and I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes.
Amen to that, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is the being humble and recognizing God. Mine's just slightly different. I wanted to read. I know that you can do anything, and no one can stop you, including Satan. Another exposure number 1573 of Satan. Satan can't stop him either.
Mm-hmm.
You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? And isn't it, Job is so humble and just all I think about is he's probably dropped to his knees and he's bowing his head and say, it is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about. You know, let's talk about that. Is it easy to admit when you're wrong just to a fellow human being? You know, I mean, think about that. And I think this is where we really need to come with ourselves, because this is a pride thing. Another thing that stops us from praying earnestly.
Mm-hmm.
To humble yourself. And it's humiliating to say, what a jerk I was. Mm-hmm. I am so sorry. I cannot even put in words how sorry I am for being such a jerk. Okay, saying this to God. I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things so far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before. Here's the piece we got to talk about. I only heard about you before. Don't you think that kind of relates to those people that you were talking about earlier who say, oh, I have all these things. Why do I need God? Don't you think those are the people I have only heard about you before?
Right.
And then Job goes on to say, but now I have seen you mm-hmm. with my own eyes. I have seen you with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm. I have a note on that. I don't think it's to be taken literally.
No.
I think that Job and his three friends had only heard of God, but now Job has seen God with the eyes of faith and spiritual understanding.
That's it. That's exactly it.
He can therefore accept God's ways with him, which includes suffering.
That's it. And then what does he say? I take back everything I've said.
Mm-hmm.
And I sit in dust and ashes to show my penance. And here it goes. Job. Why do I keep saying Job? I mean, that's just craziness. Job was quoting the Lord's earlier questions to him. He openly and honestly faced God and admitted that he was the one who had been foolish. Here's a question for everyone, right? Just think about this. This is when, remember, you're supposed to have donned your pens. Write this down and think about it. One of those questions to regurgitate. Are you using what you can't understand as an excuse for your lack of trust? Remember what we're doing. Power of prayer. Life-changing prayer. What stops you from attaining that life-changing prayer? Are you using what you can't understand as an excuse for your lack of trust? Admit to God that you don't even have enough faith to trust him. True faith begins in humility. And it's what you said. I haven't seen you. I have only heard about you. I haven't seen you. And it is. It's I now have faith.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't believe it's literal either. I think it is indeed talking about I have... this is the faith builder. Mm-hmm. This is for us. We are seeing it with our eyes, but we're believing it too, and we're trusting it. And this is, we must choose often. We have to choose between doubt and trust. And will you trust God with your unanswered questions? And didn't you kind of talk about that a little earlier? You know, he may not have answered you in the way you wanted to be answered.
Right.
And that's the big thing. So, turn the page in my book, at least. The conclusion here. with Job? What happened to Job? After he had this whole, 42 chapters mm-hmm. of suffering and all that jazz. And now here's the answer to your question that you had asked earlier. You said, how long did Job suffer? I want to drive this home. First and foremost, it's all about God's blessings, right? And our praying, what stops us and all that. Job is known for all the suffering he did.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody ever say, boy, Job, that Job, man, he was a lucky son of a gun, wasn't he? Do you ever hear that about
Never.
Job?
Never. Never.
You just hear, boy, that dude, poor guy, he just suffered. That's all that guy ever did was suffer. He lived until when he was 70, and just 0.7, God's perfect number. When he was 70, the Satan decides to freaking toy with him.
Mm-hmm.
Toy with the guy for a year. His suffering lasted approximately a year. Nobody knows exactly how long it happened, but through the other studies, Dakes and that sort of thing, it's because of the
less than a year, they say, right?
Yeah,
like maybe 9 months.
And they say in some commentaries it does say about a year. So there's nobody really knows, but the fact that it remains, it was a short time in relation to his life. 70 years, he goes through about a year of suffering. Let's just say that, and for the sake of this conversation, 9 to 12 months of suffering. And then he lives 140 more years. 140 more years, okay? So he was 210 when he died. 210 when he died. And remember, if you want to do a quick flip.
That's a lot of blessings.
That's well, here, check this out. Let's do a quick flip here back to Job 1 and talk about what did he have? He had three daughters, Trinity, seven sons, God's perfect number. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. In fact, he was the richest person in the entire area. Okay, and he had all these wonderful children, right?
Now,
what do you think God says?
In chapter 42, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys, which is pretty much double everything he had before, wasn't it?
His blessings were doubled.
Doubled, yeah. And he also had seven sons and three daughters. So he had the same number of sons and daughters later in his life as he did in the beginning, right?
Right.
The first daughter he named, well, I don't know if you want to go into
no,
that.
No, we don't really need to go into that part.
So he had a lot of blessings.
He was abundantly blessed, and he was doubly blessed. Just as a footnote to all this is his servants got in trouble. God was like, you guys put all this mess in his head, so you're in trouble. And the only way you can redeem yourself, basically, is to give Job seven bulls and seven rams and go give it to him as a burnt offering for yourselves. And then he said to his friends there that Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer. I think that is so cool. Okay. And then he says, I will not treat you as you deserve. And I put a little asterisk there to come to. We're going to revisit this on the other side of the next.
Time for another song.
Another song. The Only One by Maryse Osman.
I praise thee. cover me. And I pray.
You know, she nailed that too. Praise God for Marie Osmond, and that's a wonderful, just a little plug for her and Donnie.
I know you used to watch her show, you told me.
I did. I'm a little bit country, I'm a little bit rock and roll. I just want everybody to know they do that.
Bill used to watch her show too.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah, she was great. Well, I love her, and she's gone through a lot of trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
And I really think that...
she have a son that committed suicide, I think.
Yeah, just a little... I was letting Catherine know she had a little hair sticking up there. I couldn't get away with it with this live video stream.
It's going to make her laugh too much and not take this
I would
this
be
show
focusing
seriously.
On it. Yeah, yes, she did have a son who committed suicide minutes before she performed her show. Her and Donnie have a... And Donnie's my friend. I just need to call him. Marie and Donnie were going on stage.
Yeah, you had a first-name basis
yes.
with them, huh?
And Connie just told me about this, and he had called her just before going on stage, and then when he committed suicide while she was on stage, and it's been pretty bad, and she's gone through some an icky divorce and that sort of thing. And
how old was he when he committed suicide?
I'm not really sure. I don't know the details of that, but I think she's around 60 now, and she's gone through some stuff, and it's interesting that she comes out with a song.
Yeah,
you know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah,
is praising,
praising God through good and bad.
I want to wrap up, Job, with this, and we're going to talk a little bit more about how to really keep on getting in and praying for the God to put the desire in your heart to get to know Him more. And the best way to get to know Him is through the good book. And just a little note, you know, like I said, He had grace and mercy for the friends that misguided Job. Also, I thought it was interesting that he didn't triple, quadruple, or whatever Job's blessing. He doubled the blessing, mm-hmm. which is two. And that's a covenant between God and man. And then that was just, he had... he got to see four generations of his children and grandchildren. I thought that number four was an interesting number of worldwide evangelism. But this is what I want to wrap up, is you will find a God who only desires to show His love and compassion to you. If you can trust Him in pain, confusion, loneliness, let me just say that one more time. It's easy to trust Him when you're feeling so blessed abundantly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you can trust Him in pain, confusion, and loneliness, you will win the victory and eliminate doubt, one of Satan's greatest footholds in your life. One more time, you guys. If you can trust Him in pain, confusion, and loneliness, you will win the victory and eliminate doubt, one of Satan's greatest footholds in your life. Make God your foundation. You can never be separated from his love. Mm-hmm. That will never happen.
And you know, that you say that, and I'm thinking while you're saying that, that's so hard to do.
It is hard to
because
do.
Because I've heard time and time again from people that don't believe, well, he took my mother from me when I was 12. Well, you know, I had, you know, this disease and a terrible childhood. And so I blame God, or there can't be a God because I went through this suffering. So asking us to believe and never sway from praying to God through hard times, we know that's not easy to do, is it?
No, it isn't. And it talks, you know, why do believers experience troubles and sufferings? Through a long debate, Job's supposedly wise friends are unable to answer this question. Job's friends made a serious error in which God rebuked them. They assume troubles only come because people sin. People make the same mistake today, and they assert that sickness and lack of material blessing is a sign of unconfessed sin or lack of faith. Though normally, but not always, following God's lead to a happier life, and rebelling against God normally, but not always, leads to an unhappy life. God is in control. In our world invaded by sin, calamity, and suffering come to good and bad alike. This does not mean that God is indifferent, uncaring, unjust, or powerless to protect us. Bad things happen because we live in a fallen world where both believers and unbelievers are hit with tragic consequences of sin. God allows evil for a time, although he turns it around for our good. Romans 8:28, right? Remember that
mm-hmm.
one?
Mm-hmm.
All things are brought together for... We may have no answers as to why God allows evil, but we can be sure he is all-powerful and knows what he's doing. The next time you face trials and dilemmas, see them as opportunity to turn to God for strength. And you ask the question, how are we supposed to do that? I mean, kind of answered the question of why, you know, what do you do, whatever. But how? How? Right here.
Yeah, I agree.
Perfect segue into what Pastor Jim was talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
Speak the word. Speak the word, swallow it, and spit it up again.
Mm-hmm.
And speak it again. Because, you know, there many times people joke when you say a certain word, there's many words like this, and it just starts sounding weird after a while. And then it starts having new meaning. That's what the scripture is. Okay? And interestingly enough, what is the very next thing that comes after Job? Psalms.
Right. Yeah.
That's a perfect one. You know, you say, well, why do these things happen?
Prayers. All prayers.
You
can sing it or pray it.
And what do you do to in those lonely times, what you ask? Driving at home. There's nothing more you can do is this. And I'm telling you guys, it works. You just got to get it deep down. Look what I got out of Job and shared with you. I mean, I would never have thought I would get the power of prayer coming out of Job, really. All I was thinking is like, oh, this suffering. But here's a guy, lived 70 years, suffered 9 to 12 months, and then lived another glorious 140 years.
Right.
Okay? Go to Psalms. We want to get down to the nitty-gritty of things. We want to learn about the true nature of God. We want to rejoice. We want to cry out. We want to praise God. I'm telling you guys, always in those times, you have a prayer request. You say, Lord, I want my body to be healed and restored to all that you intended it to be. And I claim this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. And then you start thanking him before you even receive it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, you don't have to know the scripture verbatim. You can just start talking to him. Say, God, I have this, just put the desire to know you and to learn more about you in my heart. And then guide me to the scripture that will lead me into a more healthy thinking.
I did want to make a point. You know, Job was a believer and a follower, and he feared God, and he practiced a God-fearing life. And I would like to say that fear is in respect. He respected God, and I would like to make the point that I think is important, that if you are in a relationship with God, okay, you're talking to him, you know, on a daily basis. You know, you're reading the Bible and learning. It's a little more easy to slide into prayer mm-hmm. when you're going through hard times.
Yes, good
Whereas
point.
Whereas if you're not, if you don't have that foundation, it does make it more difficult. I just wanted to make that suggestion.
No, and that's a really good point.
You know, people shouldn't wait for a tragedy or bad times to decide, you know, or think that they want to pray, although they can. But, you know, they don't have that foundation there, that relationship already, you know, formed.
Right.
So it's going to be a little more uncomfortable. So
it is. And it's going to get more and more comfortable. It's just like us walking as, you know, as an infant.
Right.
Or learning to read. And, you know, there's so many different types of Bibles out there. You know, Pastor Marsha teaches out of the Message Bible, which is in now terminology. You heard me reading from my Life Application Study Bible, which is you heard it. It says, after the Lord had finished speaking to Job, he said to his friends, I am angry with you. Catherine read out of the NIV. There's footnotes. There's study guides. The Message Bible is a more simple way. In fact, we have folks in our church that got a more simple reading at a 12th grade level. You can get Bibles that read at a third grade level. So don't let that deter you. Like our main topic, don't allow these things to discourage and deter you. Jot these psalms down, you guys. Psalms 103, when you're full of joy, start praying, talking, saying, singing Psalms 103. This is some psalms that Pastor Jim gave us today. Mm-hmm. If you need to repent, Psalms 51. If you need to rejoice, you feel like rejoicing in the Lord, amen, go to Psalms 47. You know, Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is the psalm that tells you everything that God is. Okay? You start learning the nature of God, you start knowing what he can do. Mm-hmm. You start learning the nature of God, you find out how much he loves you. You recognize how much he loves you, then you're wonderful. You're in great place. Peace, joy, and happiness. And always remember, it's not far to Jesus.
It's not far from here to Jesus. His loving arms are open wide. Your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no It's not far.